This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builders Supply. We continue to check around to get reaction to the recently concluded session of the Oregon State Senate and the Oregon State House. And we get State Senator Floyd Przanski on. Floyd, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Hope you're doing well this morning.
Well, talk about the end of the session and the move last week and a lot of back and forth between both sides of the aisle.
Well, I mean, it's just really crazy. It's very, very unfortunate that our Republican colleagues never made it back to work. They're out for basically, I think, 13 or 14 days. And it resulted in a situation that they ran out of time to be able to do the work in an orderly manner, and they were not willing to come back, first of all, and second, to extend the session for 5 days that would have allowed us to do it. And so wisdom of the leadership was that at that point, why should we continue to have per diems being paid out to everyone? We can't get our work done because without rule suspensions and giving complete control over to the minority. And so it was decided on Thursday that that would be the last day that the Senate and the House would be meeting. And so just to give that perspective, I'm received 3 days of per diem, which I didn't work. So I've decided to take each of those days, and I'm going to donate to three different causes to each of my per diem days to give back to the community, because I was not able to do my work in Salem because the Republicans failed to show up.
Now, the Republicans say they made an offer to come back on Sunday and get through all the emergency bills and the routine items. Why weren't they taken up on that?
Well, because they're going to define what they think is routine. They're going to say what is necessary, or they're not giving rule suspensions. And I'm sorry, you know, when you're in the minority, I was there for 7 years. It's just one of those things that you come in there, you do the best you can, and you work with the majority. We are not going to basically have this turn over democracy and override the will of the voters and have the minority who doesn't care to do their work control the process.
Now, yesterday,
I mean, they actually did when you look at it. I mean, they controlled it to the point that we basically had to shut down. You know, it's interesting. Only three bills were passed out of the chamber, two chambers that went to the governor out of about 250. And as you saw what happened on Monday, the emergency board met, and they start doing some work out of the $75 million reserves they had to try to get some relief in some places that really need it, such as Umatilla.
And as well, the governor yesterday, following the cap-and-trade bill not making it out of the legislature because of the walkout, signed a new executive order on climate. How do you think what the governor signed compares with compares to the legislative proposal?
I'm still trying to read through it, Kyle. It's a 14-page order. It looks like basically instead of cap and trade, it's cap and reduce. She's working within the parameters of what is available to her and her agencies. My reading of the press release and some of the material that I've gotten appears that there's like 18 agencies or commissions that will be impacted by this order, and that they're going to start moving forward in areas that we could have and should have done through a more common orderly process. You know, some people are going to take issue with the governor doing this, but she made it very clear to all of us after 2019 that she wanted this done by the end of the year, and then she agreed to allow for the legislature to an orderly way to deal with this during the short session of, that we just came out of. And since we are batting basically zero at this point, she took the bull by the horns and she issued this executive order.
Now, in response yesterday, Senate Republican leader Herman Bertschinger said the governor was ignoring Oregonians, and he had a quote that said she's not listening to the three-quarters of the state or the 28 counties that signed proclamations against the cap-and-trade concept.
Well, you know, I'm really sorry to see hear him say that as a parting shot. As you probably now know, Herman Bertschinger is not running for office again. After leading three walkouts of the Senate Republicans. You know, the reality is she is listening to what the people said. The will of the voters was that they wanted us to be doing this work. They wanted us to be making these changes. That is how we got to the point of having a supermajority in the first place. And it's very unfortunate that he did not see that through his clouded vision.
What about legislation that you were working on or involved in as chair of judiciary that didn't make it out? What happens with those?
Well, everything's dead. Everything that was in the hopper that was in play has to start all over. I expect that we are going to be having at least one. I think we're going to have probably two or more special sessions between now and the end of the year. They're already looking at dates for some a special session within the next 45 to 60 days. Could be as early as 3 weeks from now, but sometime in the next 45 days or so, I expect that we'll be going in and start taking care of some of the business that we need to take care of that wasn't able to do. Specifically, one of the areas I'm very concerned with what didn't make it through the judiciary process was a bill that would give clarity on DUII, driving while under the influence of intoxicants. There was a court decision that came down very recently that basically said the state had an obligation to prove that someone's intoxication level by breath or by blood was actually the amount at the time of the stop. There are a number of states, about 31 states, that have what they call a time test that they apply. And what we wanted to do is say within a two-hour window of the test, it is presumed whatever that test result is what your blood alcohol would be at the time of driving. So now we have a situation where many individuals will not be held accountable for driving under the influence of intoxicants until we are able to come back in January of next year to hold the session and try to get some legislation through. So that's one area. I think the other area for a lot of people with hemp, there's a requirement for a state plan to be in place, if not the hemp farmers. And there's over 2,000 licensed farmers in the state of Oregon. We'll have to go through a registry process with the USDA instead of having something that would be tailored for them within the state of Oregon. We are working on that. We're looking at whether or not that can be done through some type of executive rulemaking. And instead of having it very commonly done and processed through the legislature, you're going to see more and more, unfortunately, use of the executive branch to do the legislative work. And this is why I've been railing on this for such a long time for the minority to realize you're basically shifting things away from the legislative branch, making it inoperative, and shifting it into the other two branches of government.
Now, you've been in the legislature a long time. You've seen a lot of back and forth, as you said, points Republicans in power, and now for quite a while, the Democrats with a large majority. What do you feel like the overall working environment is right now for legislators in Salem?
I think it's going to be much more difficult than it was even after the long session of 2019, based on what happened in this 2020 short session. I'm very, very concerned about the relationships. As you know, Dallas Hurd has made comments as to how he feels being treated. I can assure you that his feelings are many other individuals have similar feelings of distrust and not having working relationships. And the bottom line for the legislative process to work is it's built on relationships and in trust. And so I think we have a heck of a lot of work to do. It's very unfortunate that we find ourselves in this situation. I mean, as I said, I served 7 years, and one of those years was when the Senate, when I was in the House, had a supermajority of 20 Republicans and 10 Democrats. At that point, the Democrats didn't have to even be in Salem for the Republicans to do whatever they wanted to do. So even at this point, we're not even at that level where we have the one party being able to do the work with the quorum within their own ranks.
What's your schedule like in coming weeks now that we're in between the session and likely a special session?
Well, I was just in Florence for one of my three contracts I do as a prosecutor. Started at 8:30 and didn't get out of there till after 5. So back to my day job, I say. And then at the same time, I'll be continuing to do my work as a state senator working with my constituents. As I mentioned, my 3 days of per diem. I'm actually going to challenge my Republican colleagues, since they were gone for 14 days and got 14 per diems, that they should really take that money and put it back into their communities. I've decided to take, as I said, those 3 days and divide them in a third, 1 day of per diem to food for Lane County, one to Cottage Villages, which is a square one village for homeless, and then for UCAN and Roseburg. They'll each be receiving a check out of my personal account, not my campaign account, four of those per diem days.
So in as we go through this time period, of course, just had the filing deadline yesterday. Haven't got a chance to look at all of that yet. Well, but I know both sides are looking towards the November election and, of course, the primary before that.
Yeah, it's going to be quite interesting. I have not been able to see how the dust settled, but I do understand in Herman Birchsiger's race there are now three Republicans that are running. One of them is Art Robinson, so I assume that means he's pulled the plug on running against DeFazio, but I have not been able to confirm that. But I did see his name on the board for Herman Birchsiger's seat that he'll be leaving.
Interesting, and I will have to double-check that one as well, because sometimes folks file at the last minute. Birchsiger's announcement was, you know, nearly the end of the filing deadline, so it sounded like there was some movement there quickly. I know the Republicans are going to be working real hard to gain some seats. What are the Democrats going to be doing?
Well, I think we're all going to be doing the same thing. I mean, we're unfortunately going into what's known as the political mode and politics, and we're now going to see both sides trying to do and exercise what efforts they have, and we'll use the experiences of the 2019 and the 2020 session to their hopefully benefit for each of them. But the reality is, I think that the will of the voters will once again demonstrate what's happening. And the other part we have to keep in mind is what's happening in Washington, D.C., I believe will in fact have an impact on the elections here in Oregon just because of frustration at the national level.
All right, out of time for now, but we've been following the legislative session pretty intensely, and now a bit of a break for all of you. But State Senator Floyd Prezansky, as always, thanks for joining us this morning.
Kyle, thank you very much. Hope you have a wonderful day.
8:45 at News Radio 1240 KQEN, Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builder Supply.